I always hoped my little wife might have twins, but it wasn't to be. And you've heard the definition of twins, of course, infant replay. Speaking of twins, I knew this fellow who broke his mirror and had to use his twin brother to shave by. I mustn't forget to mention my favorite aunt and uncle, Uncle Stainless and Aunt Beth. For Bethlehem, they're a fastidious couple. She's fast and he's hideous. Another uncle, 62 years old, that's Rusty. He's 62. He's looking forward to age 65 so he can go on Medi-Booze. Now, a lot of people think I drink because I often go into a bar to get change for the parking meter. The other day, I went into this bar and I asked the bartender, what's that beautiful drink you're mixing, Fred? And he said, it's a rum dandy made with sugar, milk, and rum. The sugar gives you pep and the milk gives you energy. And I said, and the rum? He said, it gives you ideas about what to do with all the pep and energy. Incidentally, while I was standing there, a guy came in, ordered a Manhattan, and the bartender made it up for him, and he put a little piece of parsley on it. It was floating on the Manhattan. The guy looked at it. He said, hey, I ordered a Manhattan. The bartender says, I gave you a Manhattan. The guy says, what's this? And he pointed the parsley. The bartender says, it's Central Park.
Bob Steele, more conversations with Bob coming up. It's the 75th anniversary of WTIC. I think Bigelow Tea was around back then, I think.
I think it probably was.
It's an old line Connecticut company. Do you know there is a Mr. and Mrs. Bigelow?
So you tell me.
Did you know there's green tea? Did you know green tea, some say, have amazing health benefits? It does.
I believe in that.
It's not only easy being green.
Huh?
It's not easy being green.
It's not easy being green. The only problem is most green teas just don't taste very good. Well, that Manhattan sounded pretty good. But Bigelow green tea is different for the, it's the green tea that not only, and Arnold Dean, there he is, Mr. Manhattan, ladies and gentlemen. Broadway Arnold, folks. But Bigelow tea is different. It's the green tea that not only may be good for your health, it actually tastes good, too. That's because the Bigelow family goes out of their way to find the best-tasting green tea, then to lock in all that great taste and wonderful fragrance. Bigelow seal every tea bag in a stay-fresh foil packet, so every time you brew a cup, it smells and tastes delicious. So to make a good thing even better, Bigelow green tea. Bigelow also comes in all kinds of terrific flavors, like refreshing lemon, and luscious peach. They even have decaffeinated. So, if you're going to drink green tea for your health, why not drink the green tea that tastes good? Bigelow green tea. Look for it in the tea section of your favorite supermarket. And to find out more about Bigelow's other great teas, visit their website, bigelowtea.com, which is probably something that was not in that original announcer's test. On the web, that's a phrase that you never probably had to use when you signed on. I do want to thank Highland Park Market. As you know, we are celebrating 75 years of WTIC. It was back in 1925 on this day that we took air. And the folks at Highland Park did put in bring in a very nice cake. So I want to thank Guido and the guys for putting that together. Bob, was Highland Park Market around in 1925, I wonder?
Don't remember. The Hartford Market was the big one on Main Street right next to the Los Poli Theater. And the Strand and the Palace. I can think of all the theaters in around 1936, but I don't know about 25, Ray.
Okay, that's
you're
true.
Going way back. 25. I wasn't here.
That's true. I do want to mention Mark Davis is here from News Channel 8. And, of course, Arnold Dean, who is kind of keeps the legend alive here. And Al Terzi, who... Arnold, really, and I do want to say this. Bob, obviously, goes without saying, is tremendous and a legend and scares the heck out of me.
Take it easy now.
I know.
Easy.
But Arnold Dean, I think, of those people, I was talking about Jack Mitchell, and those people who understand what this place really is about. And I think Al, you could, you know, because you were here. And Arnold, I think you're the guy who kind of keeps that legend alive. And I just want to say, of all the people I've met in the radio business, you know, you're tremendous. So that's enough of that. But
well,
I just wanted to say
I'm going to record that and I'll play it back.
And Arnold is like Bob in that when you put the scanner on and his voice comes on, you're comforted. It's home.
Exactly.
It's friendly. It's a comfortable pair of shoes.
And with somebody, I hope...
A compliment to you, Arnold.
Thank and somebody
you.
Else I think that fits in perfectly is Diane Smith, and Diane, it's great to have you here this morning.
Well, that's because I worked with some of these gentlemen, and they explained the legend of WTIC to me and made me feel this is the place to be.
If you... And I want to go back to Bob here for a minute. Off the air, we were talking about how authenticity was one of the keys to the station and credibility, and that if at all possible, in fact, if you couldn't do it, if it couldn't be real, it just wasn't done. It was complete disclosure, honesty. Talk about where you had to make an announcement if you played something that was on an electrical transcription.
Well, that gives you an idea of how particular they were. You had to say the following is electrically transcribed. or is recorded so that you wouldn't give the impression that you were live or your performance, whatever it might be, even a sound effect, had to be genuine, had to be done by hand live. You've heard of a horse drawing a milk wagon down a cobblestone street, something like that.
Right.
You want to make a sound like that. You had to get the halves of the coconuts and clomp like that on a hard surface to simulate the sound of a horse, horseshoes going over the cobblestones. You could not use a sound effect. I mean, they have records of all these sound effects. We had a record of a fire department arriving, shooting water on a building or something like that. You had to do that. You had to go out and, but of course, you couldn't do that. But, I mean, that's the extreme case. But everything had to be done, or you had to state that it was transcribed or recorded. The following is an electrical transcription. And that was so clumsy to say, we only said to use it for 4 or 5 years.
What does it mean?
Became a transcription, an electrical transcription, then transcribed, then recorded. You had to say that at the beginning and end if you used any recordings on the program.
And then that evolved, Ray, and we were talking about Sharago trying to break us up. We had one announcement that was done at 12:10 every day, and that was portions of the WTIC programming are brought to you transcribed from the National Broadcasting Company.
Wow.
Something like that, a little 10-second thing. And Sharago had been working on breaking me up on the Sunday showcase. He didn't get me. All morning long, I'd avoided it, because on weekends, he was a real terror. But then, as I'm doing that, we had this, the little piano, the harpsichord that's still in the hall
here. Right.
Here.
Yeah, where I play Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Yeah. I use it for that.
That was in the studio where I was doing Sunday Showcase. There was a different engineer on by this point. Sharago didn't want to leave to go home because he hadn't broken me up yet. So while I delivered this little treatise about some of the transcriptions from NBC, he just went to the harpsichord and went ding, ding, ding. And that did it. I broke up. Then he could go home peacefully.
Al, did they get you ever?
Did they ever get... not too much. I would break myself up occasionally.
Nope. And Mark, how about you?
My studio engineer and producer was Charlie Brown. Who
Here's trouble.
Now, he's across town at...
He's at KISS,
radio groups.
One of the two.
But Charlie was a pretty serious guy and very competent and always did a great job. I'm like Al, was quite capable of breaking myself up.
So that I didn't
talk about
any
things being real or not real. You know, today, of course, with the digital technology, and there's a lot of controversy about that. I mean, this is you're not sure. Look at the Super Bowl commercial with Christopher Reeve, and
exactly.
How many calls came in from people saying, "This is magnificent. How did you get Christopher Reeve to walk?" And
exactly.
These are people who had spinal cord injuries and couldn't get around, and they were trying to find out where they could get the same
kind
help.
Of heartbreaking.
It was real.
And there were a lot of people who reacted negatively to that ad. If you looked at the ratings, when it's odd that the Super Bowl, it doesn't matter who's watching the game, it's like what they think of the commercials. And in those reports you got the day after, it was like people either loved that ad or hated that ad, and I think for that reason, right?
Exactly.
Arnold was mentioning NBC. I did my radio show from some of the national political conventions and from Washington, and we did a lot of stuff with NBC. I know the station's now owned by CBS. But this was one of the flagship stations. I heard all this history from people who had been at NBC for years. I think this was the second or the third station on the network when they started in 26.
Bob,
fourth station on the NBC radio network.
At that time, there was a red and a blue.
And it was very interesting, the amount of programming that originated
in
here
Hartford.
And went all over the NBC network,
right.
And very elaborate programming. We have some great station scrapbooks that show a symphony that was... They were all on staff of WTIC.
The Merry Madcaps was a program. I had an old engineer at NBC tell me about that. And then when I came back from Washington or wherever I was, Len Patricelli, who was still here at the time, told me, the Merry Madcaps, that was a big thing on the network. I go Blue Network or the Red Network, one of them.
Right. What did you come across? Some other things, Diane, you happen to be looking through here.
Well, there was an entire symphony, and I thought that was amazing. At one time, there were something like 180 musicians who were on the staff here. Bob was talking before about the electrical transcription, and in the earliest days, they didn't believe in playing recordings of music on the air, so all the music was live, and these people were on the staff. And
part of that in the 20s was that the recordings just weren't that good.
They
didn't reproduce well. So, and of course, the station was owned by the Travelers, and they had plenty of money, and the reason it was put on the air was to try to sell insurance.
Mm-hmm.
They thought, and the same thing happened in Nashville. The
WSM?
WSM was started by an insurance company as a way to another great station of this caliber.
And WLS, world's largest
Sears. To sell stuff.
Arnold was mentioning earlier about our being newsreaders when we were staff announcers.
Sure.
And that's true. We could only read the news. The news department had control, jurisdiction over writing the news. So we were allowed only to read it. And so I became a news anchor before I was allowed to write news and become a reporter. And that's not usually the way it's done today, of course, but that's the way it was in those days.
I'm going to bring somebody on who you might remember, all of you. Doug Webster was a staff announcer from 1967 to 1972. Worked for AM-FM-TV. And Arnold, I believe that you and Doug have a very special bond here. You worked together in Syracuse,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, matter of fact, you can blame me. I helped him to get the job here.
Hey, Doug, how you doing?
WTIC, AM and FM, Hartford.
Did you have to do the electronic transcription?
I think I got past the transcription part.
Okay.
But Arnold and I survived Syracuse together, and I came down. I was quite young at the time. I think I was only about 25 years old, and came down to Hartford, and, man, I couldn't believe the number of people in that booth. This was unlike any other radio station I'd ever seen before.
What was
interesting.
So you were talking about, you said, Arnold, I think 300 people working in the building.
Yeah. That's why, you know, you politely go and say, how do you spell that last name? And Sherrago told me it was S-M-I-T-H. But you know how impressive it was to walk into the place, Doug. When you came for the audition here, I think I met you, and we looked around the place, and you were really enthralled by it.
Oh, it was very, very impressive. I mean, it was a... The building there in Constitution Plaza was quite new at that time, and just a great place to work.
Well, Doug, what were your responsibilities? What did you end up doing?
I started out as a staff announcer, and over the course of the time I was there, did announcing on AM, FM, and TV, including sports and public affairs programming.
And what are you doing now?
I'm running my own public relations business out here in Sonoma, California.
Oh, how nice.
Got tired of scraping windows in the wintertime.
I understand that. Doug, anything that you remember in particular about working at WTIC?
Well, it was just a great group of people. And, you know, I'm sure you're hearing a lot of the stories. These were people who loved to crack each other up. I remember one time, and Arnold may remember this, he was working in the FM booth. And there was an announcer who had been at TIC and had left named Ray Rice. Ray was one of the funnier people I ever met. And I remember standing in the booth with Arnold. And Arnold had been on the phone talking with Ray long distance during an opera on FM and had to stop and make an announcement. So he laid the phone down and started doing the announcement between the breaks and the opera. When Ray, long distance, began whistling at him through the phone, and Arnold just completely collapsed. He was useless after that.
Yeah, I got a little phone call from Leonard Petroselli that night and said, when I arrive at the office at 8 a.m., I want an explanation about everything that happened.
Was he, and let me ask you this then, tell me about Leonard Petroselli, and I think each of you would, I think you all would have stories. Was it as if there was a fellow who used to run KMOX in St. Louis named Bob Hyland? Bob Hyland was amazing. I mean, he was the radio station. The radio station was him. And I have a feeling that that's exactly what it was like with him. The guy was always listening. Would that be correct? Bob, he was always listening, was he not?
Yes, that's right. He was on the ball, and... If you made a mistake, you had to make out a memo and state exactly what had happened and that it was your fault and you wouldn't do it again and all that. And you had to make three or four copies. One went to the chief announcer, the next to the program director, and finally to Morenci himself. The big boss had to know exactly what happened and why. And... you know, they kept tabs on everything that happened. They wasn't as though they just let the thing run by itself. And this was a well-managed and well-handled show, or program, radio station, I should say. The whole works, everything.
Bob, as you know, if there was a goof, there would be six telephone calls in a row from various levels of management saying what happened.
Mm-hmm.
It was not as though you were ever on your own. You had 50,000 watts, so there were a lot of people, But there were a lot of very special people listening, and you really had to be minding your P's and Q's.
But we had standards. That was the thing. That, and the station obviously still does, but that was the tradition.
I want to go back to something that Al was saying about the way that the news worked and how the announcers read the news. We have someone on the phone line now. Can we get to Ken Bennett?
I believe
he used to write some of those newscasts.
Doug, hang on a second. I'm going to come back to you. Let me go to Mr. Bennett, who is right here. I think I have him here. Hi.
A lot of people remember Ken from when he was on Channel 8. He's now a TV consultant, but at one time he was writing newscasts for Al Terzi.
That's right. I wrote him.
Great writer.
Hi, Ken.
Wrote him for Al, wrote him for Bob Steele, wrote him for Doug. Bob Steele caught me one time. I was new. I was 24 years old, and I referred to a congressman named Monahan, only his name was Monaghan. And boy, did I get a lecture that has lasted me the rest of my life about accuracy, how one little letter could make a difference.
You're exaggerating a little bit, Ken.
But only a little.
It wasn't that bad.
Ken, you told me an interesting story once that I wanted to have you share about a news event that you were covering as a reporter. I guess you were out in the field on Labor Day weekend 1969. Tell us about that.
Well, that was when Hartford had its riot, and I was at Main and Belden, and in those days, WTIC equipped us with two-way Motorola radios. They also equipped us with gas masks and a sort of a uniform, brown shirts, and we were out there, and I was describing what was happening, but the station was so careful about not wanting to make things any worse or have incorrect information that all of our transmissions were being taped back at the station. In other words, we had the ability to go live, but they chose to tape everything, and then an executive producer and probably some vice presidents listened to our reports and then determined that it was accurate and appropriate to put them on the air. And at one point at Main and Belden, I was in a circle of police cars. There was the library was on fire. The firehouse was under siege. And I got hit in the back of the neck with a rock, and I'm describing what's happening. And the producer comes on, you hear on the tape, we told you to take cover. And I said, I'm in the middle of a ring of police cars. Where would you like me to go? And they played that tape. My wife called the station and said, is he all right? And their answer was, oh, yeah, he's all right. That was just a tape. But it was probably one of the more frightening experiences of my life. And again, just being 24 years old, it had that combination of excitement. But in hindsight, it was the wrong place to be.
Wow. Wow. Mm-hmm. Hello. But once again, it is that tremendous responsibility that the that the station felt, I guess. And that is absolutely remarkable. Everything was... Let me ask you this question, guys, all of you. How about ad-libbing? Were you allowed to ad-lib, or was everything scripted? Bob, I'll start with you, since you...
Well, it depended on the kind of program, you know, or whatever you're... If you're going to introduce a congressman or something, you're naturally reading a scripted introduction. If something happens that isn't planned, well, naturally you're going to ad-lib. But if you have a program like, say, the one that I was doing... You couldn't do anything but ad-lib, except your commercials that were scripted.
But you were very, very prepared. You had the show planned down to the last minute.
Had to know what you were going to say, of course, but there was no rule, no hard and fast rule, that you couldn't ad-lib at any time that you had to. But if you fooled around with a copy, you know, the scripted... copy and you made a few jokes or you changed it in any way, then you'd be called down, of course.
It was at your peril that you would do that.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I didn't take a short break. I want to come back. Mark Davis is here. Of course, Bob Steele. I think you recognize him. Arnold Dean. And, of course, Al Terzi. Al, you can stay around for a little while, right? I know you. Well, you have to go.
I've got to get ready for the new news. I'll probably leave in another 10, 15 minutes.
Okay, because I do want to get some final thoughts from
you. Already,
and, hey, Doug and Ken, you guys stick around, okay? I'll get right back to you, okay?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. 927 on WTIC. Short break. Diane Smith is here as well. I don't want to forget Diane. Turn this into boy talk here. Of course, you know, that is rather, if you think about this, how many women were there in that building that were on the air at that
one
particular time?
Weather, Barbara Allen.
Barbara Allen, yeah. Travelers Weather Service.
And who was the woman that did the show with you at noon, the Meet Me on the Plaza? That was Jean...
Oh, Jean Colbert did the show preceding it.
Ross Miller's wife.
And she was
I'm thinking of Betty.
Betty Miller.
Betty did a program too, right?
Some years ago, right, I think.
Right. Oh, yes, Betty did. Yeah, Betty did her own show.
We're going to take a break and come back. The following announcements will be on electronic transcription, actually out of a digital computer, back in just a second with WTIC News, which will be live on WTIC Hartford.
The daughter of a slave woman, she was separated from her mother at the tender age of 7. She was shown kindness both by her mistress, who permitted the young girl to attend church services, and by another compassionate woman who purchased her freedom at age 16 for $200. At 18, she married, but within 2 years, her husband died and her own 2 children also died young. At her home in Manhattan, she gave religious instruction to young children and in 1814 was invited to transfer her school to the basement of a church. Here she took the children of New York streets and poorhouses to her arms, teaching them, finding them homes, caring for the unwed mothers among them. She died of cholera in 1854, and in 1920, a home for unwed mothers was founded in her name, supported by private enterprise. During Black History Month 2000, we remember Katie Ferguson, who established the first modern Sunday school in Manhattan and dedicated her life to helping orphans, black and white.
February is Black History Month. Celebrate with United Way in partnership with WTIC News Talk 1080.
According to conventional wisdom, nice people shouldn't talk about race, politics, or religion. Hi, I'm George Baumunde, president of United Way, the Capital Area. Well, it's about time we challenge that thought. Community Conversations on Race is helping us value each other and grow as individuals. In offices, libraries, and other sites in our community, hundreds of our neighbors are learning more about each other by sharing more about themselves. United Way is proud to support these conversations as a way to help all of us explore and celebrate the diversity that makes our community strong. To participate in a community conversation near you, call 683-1039. I believe that if it is to be, it must start with me. Dare to change the world by starting with yourself.
Brought to you by WTIC in partnership with United Way, celebrating 75 years of caring for our community.
It's 9:30 and 32 degrees in downtown Hartford. Good morning, I'm Angela Dias, WTIC 1080 News. A Wallingford man gets his chance in court today to argue that too much Prozac made him insane, leading him to rob banks and a store. Christopher D'Angelo has a one-day trial before a judge in Milford today. He contends that an overdose of the antidepressant made him commit robberies in 1997. The prosecution is arrested in the attempted kidnapping trial of James Beau Greitz, a militia movement leader. Greitz of Nevada and Sheldon Robinson of Texas are accused of conspiring to kidnap the eldest son of former Simsbury resident Linda Weigand in September of 1996 in a messy child custody case. State election officials are being sued by presidential hopeful Lyndon LaRouche for a spot on next month's Democratic primary ballot. LaRouche has run as a political extremist in the past. The lawsuit claims Connecticut's ballot access rules are so restrictive that they prohibit viable candidates from running for office. WTIC News Time, 9:31.
Hey, Husky fans, who cares if you can't drain the three? So what if your hook shot doesn't catch iron? At least you can dunk and get maximum style points, too, with your brand-new Yukon Huskies travel mug from Dunkin' Donuts. These high-quality team logo mugs let you travel on the go without dribbling. No Husky fan should be without one, so join the winning team. Head to your nearest Dunkin' Donuts today and get a Yukon Huskies travel mug filled with delicious hot Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Supplies are limited, so get yours today. And while you're there, ask how you can receive a radio cassette copy of the Huskies' 1999 National Championship win, featuring a one-hour highlight show that illustrates the blood, sweat, and cheers of UConn's road to St. Petersburg. Officially licensed by the NCAA and the University of Connecticut. When it comes to UConn basketball, Dunkin' Donuts gets you in the game. Get your UConn Huskies team logo travel mug today, only at Dunkin' Donuts.
From the WTIC 24-hour traffic network, if you spot a backup on state roads, give us a call on your cell phone at Star 1080. Now WTIC New England Weather Service meteorologist Joe Fury. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Angela. We have a nice day going, sunshine. It's hazy out there. Kind of looks like a spring day out, but temperatures are on the cool side. We'll look for the hazy sunshine to hold on into this afternoon. Some clouds may start to take over later on today. And not too much wind today. And the temperature this afternoon, 38 to 43 degrees. Maybe a couple of degrees higher in a few spots. And then tonight, cloudy skies this evening. Some light rain and drizzle in well after midnight. Temperatures down tonight to 30 to 35. May have some pockets of freezing rain around in parts of northern Connecticut, western Massachusetts early tomorrow. Otherwise, light rain and drizzle through mid-afternoon. Partial clearing toward evening. Highs tomorrow, 38 to 43. And then we'll look for the next storm system to go out to sea to our south. That'll leave us with sunshine Saturday. Partly sunny in the high then. In the 30s. Right now, some sunshine and 34. The weather station, WTIC. News Talk, 1080.
Thanks, Joe. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 9.93. The NASDAQ is up 27.38. I'm Angela Dias, WTIC 1080 News.
So you want to get her something nice for Valentine's Day. Yeah, but what does nice cost? Well, at Becker's, they believe something nice should cost you what you want it to cost. If you want to spend under $100, Becker's has classic diamond earrings or solitaire gold pendants or a genuine rose dipped in 24-karat gold, only $69. Now, if you want to spend $250 to be nice, Becker's has a lovely heart pendant with four princess-cut diamonds or a 20-diamond heart pendant. If you want to spend under $500, that's nice. Becker's also has a 2-karat diamond tennis bracelet and hundreds of other gifts. Becker's, so many choices in so many price ranges. And whatever you choose, it comes with the Becker's family promise. If for any reason you're not completely happy, Becker's will give you a full refund, period. Simple as that. Becker's Diamonds and Fine Jewelry, West Hartford Center on LaSalle Road, downtown Hartford on Pratt Street. Now make sure you check out the Valentine's Day specials. I mean, hey, it's coming on the web at Becker's.com. That's Becker's.com. Love is in the air at Select Comfort. Thanks to the dual-adjustable airbed. See, airbed, Give somebody you love a gift that can improve his or her quality of sleep. A better night's sleep on a Select Comfort airbed. No, think about it. You think I'm stretching here. But the way you sleep affects the way you function through the day. If you're tired, you act tired. Now, there are numerous elements that affect your quality of sleep, but very few influence you as much as your mattress. Your quality of sleep is directly related to how comfortable you are in bed. Now, Select Comfort Adjustable Airbed cradles you in comfort while providing complete support, unlike anything else. Great spinal alignment. Dual hand controls adjust the firmness and softness level on each side of the bed for individualized comfort. So stop by a showroom, take a test rest, and receive a free box of Godiva chocolates. After you take that test rest, you'll want the bed, and queen size starts at just $549.99. Stop by Select Comfort. You'll find them at the Pavilions at Buckland Hills, Crystal Mall, at Brass Mill Center, West Farms, and Meriden Square. Best night's sleep of your life guaranteed. This time, looking for a better night's sleep? Select Comfort.
Now, George, I know you're a picky eater and you only like my cooking, but be polite.
Polite, right?
If you don't like it, just take one bite and tell Betty it's good.
Okay.
Time for dinner. Oh. Pork loin roast with gravy. Well?
This doesn't taste anything like Mona's pork loin roast.
George is a little picky.
It's better.
What?
Fork tender, juicy, delicious.
It's time for dinner.
Well, we know it's time for dinner, Betty. That's why we're all eating.
No, it's a time for dinner pork loin roast. Mm. Comes in a nice package. Fully cooked.
Well, it's very, very good.
And so easy. 7 minutes in the microwave.
It's very, very, very good.
Seven.
Very, very excellent. Very good.
We get the idea, George.
Tomorrow night, I'm serving time for dinner, country-style tender beef pot roast.
Can I come over?
Don't talk with your mouth full, dear.
You want to finish what's on your plate, Mona, or can I have it?
George.
Boy, this is very, very,
extremely, we heard that the
very,
first time.
Time for dinner, the star of a great-tasting meal for busy people.
For additional savings, check out this Sunday's newspaper for the Time for Dinner dollar off coupon. Look for Time for Dinner entrees in your favorite grocer's refrigerated meat case.
It's How Do You Do from Hartford Town, the studios of WTIC. As the National Broadcasting Company brings you Madcap Variety, presenting the music of Norman Collier's Merry Madcaps, assisted by the voices of Durell Alexander and Brad Reynolds, and the Men of Song, directed by Leonard Patricelli. Madcap Variety. The orchestra takes the curtain cue with Irving Berlin rhythm from Top Hat. Isn't this a lovely day?
Should have left that going for Vermont Teddy Bear. Boy, that says I love you, huh? Okay. Things have changed. I mean, obviously, there are different ways of saying I love you. The message is still the same, but the content, the how you send the message, that's... It's the medium versus the message.
They didn't have Vermont Teddy Bears in 1925 when this station signed on the air.
No, they didn't have
them. Things have gotten better.
That's right, they didn't. Probably very few people had telephones, I would guess, at that time.
They had Theodore Roosevelt Teddy Bears.
In 1920.
So what you'd have to do is you'd have
very few people owned them.
Right. Well, to get one of these Vermont teddy bears, had they existed, you would have had to probably, I don't know, go into town to the Western Union office and probably send a telegram. Maybe. Now, that probably wouldn't work either. Now, of course, you can jump on the World Wide Web. Go to VermontTeddyBear.com. Send a beargram for a Valentine's Day or any special occasion. 1-800-829-BEAR. 1-800-829-BEAR. There's the Cupid Bear, the Love Bandit, the Lover Boy Bear. All of those will send the message that you want. And in addition, to kind of reinforce it, there is, in fact, a handwritten message from one of your bear counselors. You tell them the words. Box of chocolates and other things. It's a great little gift. Everybody remembers it. Send the flowers, but send the bear, too. 1-800-829-BEAR. No matter what the occasion, nothing says you care like a handmade, American-made, guaranteed faux life Vermont teddy bear. We're back, 938. 75 years of WTIC. Al, I know you're going to have to go here in a sec, but let me just get some final words from you. What do you remember most? And, I mean, you've certainly... Was it a large part? Even now, you've gone on to television. You've been at Channel 8 and Channel 3. And
it was like the 6 years that I worked for the radio side, and then I stayed with the TV side when the ownership changed in 74. Right. It was like going to college. I mean, you had in those days, you had mentors like Bob Steele and Arnold and some of the other people who were here and had some years of experience over you. And you learned and you grew and you had fun. I mean, and you had standards. It's kind of hard today to see some of these standards. Many of them have been eroded. And...
He's looking right at you, Ray.
Al and I met here
yes.
20 years ago when I came down from Boston to do the nighttime radio show. We were doing a radiothon for the Jimmy Fund.
Right.
Still care of the Red Sox, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so.
And Al came in and we did a segment together and he invited me out to dinner and he said, "Have you done any TV?" I said, "Oh, sure." He said, "Well, you ought to be doing more." And we struck up a relationship. We've been very good friends ever since. And even though he's a competitor, we still love you, Al.
Same here.
Well, we have Ken Bennett on the line.
Yeah,
he's from that same era. And Ken is now a TV consultant. Most people in the New Haven area know him as an anchor and weather person on Channel 8. But he's an alum here. And I'm wondering, Ken, why is it that so many of the really giants in broadcasting in TV came out of WTIC radio?
Well, there was tremendous discipline in those days, not only for accuracy, but for timing. If you were short by a second, that was considered a discrepancy, and heaven forbid if you stepped on that dit-dit-dit-dit at the top of the hour. You came to work no matter what. When I was hired there, they told me a story of a fellow who lived up in the northwest part of the state who put on snowshoes and hitchhiked to the station to be there 2 hours early on a snow day. You get lessons like that, and you're going to turn out to be a pretty good reporter, anchor, or whatever, especially when that happens early in your career. And I was 24 when I was hired there.
And Al, I believe, just this morning came into the studio wearing snowshoes, having hiked all the way from his house. So I guess it stays with you, doesn't it, Ken?
In the car.
So many of the people that people know from TV, you know, flipping through the scrapbooks, I saw John Sablon from Channel 30, who used to do the WTIC news in Spanish.
Well, I was among the people who trained John. He came to WTIC under a minority training program. He'd gone to the Columbia Journalism School, had a special 3-month program. Then he came to TIC, and he was one of the first people of color to be on the air really anywhere. And it was quite a thing for Channel 3 and WTIC to have programs like that. Also, there was a woman. She was a reporter, and her name was Jeannie. There was a Jeannie Wiltsey, and there was another Jeannie. But in those days, there just weren't women covering the news, and yet WTIC and Channel 3 had them.
Isn't that ironic? You think about it. Here is a station that, and once again, we're back to kind of form versus substance. In form, it was a very, very almost stodgy, formal, I don't want to say anal retentive, but I mean, the fact was it was a very, very, very stiff radio station. And yet, we just talked to Bill Cleed. He was an environmental reporter in 1970. This was one of the first stations to put a woman on full-time. This is one of the first stations to put a minority on full-time. So sometimes I think we confuse, you know, the way it sounds to what it's really doing. And this is a progressive radio station. Would you agree with that, Ken?
Absolutely. The only thing that wasn't progressive in those days, they were number one, and there was a little bit of a don't rock the boat. So when I would produce the radio newscasts for people like Al, and he wasn't one who complained about this, but I once had 15 audio cuts in a 15-minute newscast, and the announcers were complaining that they didn't have enough to read, that I was using too much actuality. Other than that, I think they were progressive.
Once again, it's a form versus, I suppose, substance. Hey, Ken, I want to thank you for being on. I wish you the best in your consulting business, and I envy you somewhat for being in Sonoma, California. But
no, I'm in Hamden, Connecticut.
Oh, you're in Hamden.
But I envy you
Doug
for sitting
is out
in a studio with Diane Smith and getting paid for it.
Thank you,
wonderful.
Thank you, Ken. Have a good time. He's down in Hamden. I'm sorry. I get confused sometimes. So many names.
Doug
so
Webster's
people.
Out there in the early country right
there
now.
There he is. That's yeah. Doug. Hi, Doug. Welcome back again. I'm sorry to keep you waiting. But I guess
one thing he didn't tell you in his resume was that Doug also did color on the Hartford Knights games with me. Well, 1 year or two, Doug?
I think it was two. Those were wonderful years.
Yeah.
They were a very interesting team. I don't know if a lot of people remember the Hartford Knights.
Yeah, Arnold, for those of us who weren't around, tell us about the Hartford Knights.
Dillon Park, isn't that where they played? Dillon Stadium?
Yeah, Dillon Stadium. Atlantic Coast Football League. The late Pete Savin, who passed away not long ago, Doug. I don't know whether you're aware of that, but he was the owner of the team and ran a real classy outfit. If the rest of the league had been as good as the Hartford Knights, they'd still be in existence. And I remember Lou Palmer, who later went to ESPN and is going to be on later today, and I did the games for years, too. And I just they were the most exciting team, and they were fun broadcasts. We got to know all the players really well. They were great community people, and many of them went on to the big leagues, went to the NFL. Those were wonderful days and terrific games.
They were, and I remember one game, and I can't remember the name of the player, but I think it was down in Roanoke one night. We were down there, and there was a player who was too small to make the NFL, but he was one of the most exciting runners I ever saw.
Marvin Pettaway, would that?
Marvin Pettaway, I think it was, wow. And he caught a ball and ran like 90 yards with one of the most incredible broken field runs I'd ever seen.
It was 5'7" and about 160 pounds.
And fast.
And
fast.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Hey, Doug, I want to wish... Go ahead.
I also remember flying back with the team, I think after that game, and I always loved to fly, and in those days I got a chance to go up in the cockpit of the plane. You couldn't do that anymore today. It was a Mohawk charter.
Mohawk.
Sitting up in the cockpit with the pilots, and as the plane was coming, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, we were coming into Bradley, and it was so clear that over New York you could see the runway lights at Bradley. We were slowly descending, and suddenly the door opened, and the stewardess stuck her head in, and she said to the pilot, "When you land, don't use your thrust reversers. There's a big pile of trash in the back, and it'll fall over," and she shut the door. And the pilot turned to the co-pilot, and he says, "Only on Mohawk."
Hey, Doug, thank you for being on. Enjoy your life in California.
Thanks, Ray, and Bob, and Arnold especially. It's been many years, but it's always good to keep in touch, and just look for the presence of unexplained pennies on your eyelids, guys.
That's right, Doug. Thank you very much.
Good, the best of the family, Doug.
Let me bring up one program, and Mark, you did a talk show. And
yes,
I think we should...
It was entirely ad-libbed to answer your question about half an hour ago.
Mark, of course, is with News Channel 8, the political correspondent. Tell us about... there was a talk show mic line, correct?
That predated me.
That was one of the first talk shows.
Yeah, and Arnold did it, I think.
Oh, yeah.
In the afternoon,
yeah.
Wasn't
and
it? Yeah.
Bob used to come in as a guest periodically.
When did Mike Line start?
It was on at 1:05 or 1:15 in the afternoon. They did the major newscast at 1 o'clock. They did a 15-minute newscast, and it would come on 1:15 until 2. Two, we keep referring to, staff announcers would come on. Ed Anderson, Floyd Richards, Bruce Kern, and so on would come on, and it was a talk show, one of the first talk shows, but it was very different. It was... how do you make your own windshield washer fluid? And
Bob's got the best recipe for window cleaning I ever used.
Okay. What is it, Bob? Do you know?
I
can't remember now. I have it at home. It's all written out. People keep asking me about it. And they write I meet them on the street. They say, "What's that? As you're asking me right now, I can't think of it."
It has cottage cheese in it, too, doesn't it? Oh, no, that's the scrambled eggs. That's right.
But anyway, if you want to listen, give me your address. No, I'll send it to you.
I have it at home. We use it every time.
And so Mike Line went on until 2 o'clock. Then they added a second hour of Mike Line from 2:05 until 3. And on that one, Gene Colbert would come in and be a guest once in a while. Or I would go in and be a guest on the Big Band era. Bob would come in and be a guest and just talk about things. But it was a very friendly...
But Mabel from Bloomfield was not calling up on the phone and going on, so it wasn't a talk show in that
respect. No, not that respect. No, it was... I lost the formula for the depression plant.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The depression plant was something that, in the depression, I guess you took a couple household things and it made a pretty little display.
That had evolved in the 70s to a nighttime talk show, and they brought a fellow down from Boston named Jerry Williams.
Oh, Jerry Williams,
one of the first radio call-in hosts in America in 1958 at the old WMEX in Boston, and had gone to Chicago and then back to Boston, and they brought him down here to do the nighttime show on this station, and it didn't work out too well, and I guess he left after about 6 months or so.
Oh, if it was that long.
Yeah, maybe it was a few months. And then they had a couple of other guys in between, and then they approached me, and after hearing the Jerry Williams story, I was surprised they wanted a guy from Boston again, that they would take a chance.
Sure.
And it ended up, I did it for the longest period of time of anyone who ever did a nighttime radio show, and it was very, very successful because of Bob Steele promoting it and a few other things that helped.
That was when the sports talk show was born, because they were going to go to talk at night, and I had the brainstorm that I said, look, we do sports from 6:20 until 6:30 anyway. Right. What are you going to do from 6:30 until 7 when Jerry Williams comes on? I said, I'm going to propose a sports talk show, and I gave it to Arnold Chase. He liked the idea, and it was born, and then eventually it added in length and so on, and it's still on the air today.
Well, time to play more commercials, guys. Oh, we'll be right back on WTIC. Bob Steele is here. Arnold Dean.
We love those commercials. And, you know, there's a guy walking through the lobby here who's been here longer than any of us, with the exception of Bob, and that's Joe McGinnis, who has been an account executive, a salesman here.
Six-year veteran when I came aboard.
Right.
Yeah.
And he also, you may hear him on the air sometimes. He's got a great announcer voice. And I know he's still here because I see him walking around, and he should be acknowledged as well.
You know, the other, before I go to the break, just very quickly, and Steve Morris is going to join us too in just a second, Steve, hang on, is the thing I always get, it impresses me, I think when I talk to you, Arnold, and I'm sure for Bob it was the same way, and I'm sure for a lot of these folks, Joe McGinnis, for example. These are guys who started out working in places like Norwalk, or they'd work someplace like Willimantic, and the big time was coming here. Mm-hmm. This was even bigger, perhaps, than going to New York. I mean, this was a big
place. Well, why do you think
I
left Channel 8?
No. There you are.
It's still the big time, baby.
But it is amazing how these people put in years and years and years of training so that they could get a job at this place. I mean, Mark, you were in for quite a while before you got here, right?
I spent 13 years in Boston area radio before I came here.
Got to take a break. 9:49 on WTIC. Back in a sec.
This is a paid announcement.
My fellow caregivers and I have been caught in a long struggle with Church Homes, the operator of Avery Heights and Miller Memorial Extended Care Facilities. We've been struggling for a fair contract with a livable wage and standard benefits. Church Homes has locked us out of our jobs and hired less experienced replacement workers. This has been a difficult time, but this week our struggle was joined. Two candidates for president, Bill Bradley and Al Gore, are giving us their support. They say our fight is just and that they want to help us work for fairness and equity. Senator Bradley joined us on the picket line last week. Their support has made us even stronger. We need all of you to join our struggle, too. Call Church Homes at 860-527-9126 and tell them to treat their caregivers with respect and dignity. You can help bring an end to this struggle. Paid for by the members of the New England Healthcare Employees Union, District 1199.
Cyclorama Super Sunday roars into the Hartford Civic Center February 12th and 13th, 2000. Meet the world's greatest stuntman, the legendary Evel Knievel. See over 100 custom bikes competing for over $5,000 in cash and trophies. Plus bikes, and more bikes, including antiques, factory customs, drag bikes, and introducing some of the latest high-performance cycles. Enjoy Michael Bryant, stuntman motorcyclist extraordinaire, as he performs in the center ring. This show is right out of the X Games. Watch their videos and meet today's Daredevils world record holder, Doug Danger, and Mr. Light My Fire, J.J. Steele. All this plus a leather and lace fashion show featuring those special gifts for your favorite Valentine, plus Evel memorabilia.
Hi there, this is Evel Knievel, and I'll be at the Cyclorama Super Sunday show. I hope to see you there.
Cyclorama Super Sunday is at the Hartford Civic Center February 12th and 13th. Don't miss it.
Okay, Coach, so you're saying that because you taught me how to dribble a basketball, you should get 10% of the money?
Oh, yeah, that was part of you making the shot, so it's at least $10,000.
And, son, we all know who gave you your first ball, so figuring in the amount of time you and I spent with it, that calculates to about $32,000.
Oh, come on, Dad.
Honey, your dad's right. And don't forget who sewed your uniform so you could even play those games.
You gotta be kidding me.
Now, people, be realistic. If I hadn't kept Mike on his high school team when everyone else wanted to cut him, we wouldn't be here today.
I was gonna get cut?
Son, you just never had the skills.
The skills?
It's okay, Mike. No one knew. But if you want to keep it that way, how about you throw in another $5,000?
Oh, man. This is a lot of money.
What do you care? You have $1 million.
How will your life be affected by $1 million from SNET? To find out, all you have to do is make a basket. Visit any SNET retail location and find out how you can win UConn tickets, national championship tickets, and a shot, a real shot, at $1 million only from SNET. SNET. A member of the SBC Global Network. Major restrictions may apply. See store for details.
It's 9:52 on WTIC. Ray Dunaway, Mark Davis will be here for a few minutes, but he has to go over to cover the Capitol for News Channel 8.
I've got one more story because Arnold was talking about the sports show going from, I think it eventually went to 6:30 to 8, right?
Right, right, yes.
A half-hour newscast at 6 o'clock. The night that I remember the most about my career here was the day that Al Grasso died.
I was thinking the same thing, Mark.
We got the word, I think, during the 6 p.m. newscast, and broke the word. Now, it was funny because, it wasn't funny, but it was, that's not the right word, but we all knew she was dying, but the public generally, I don't think, knew. And they immediately decided, the management, that I should go on the air instead of you at 6:30. And the outpouring of grief went on until 1 o'clock in the morning, nonstop.
Let me refresh your memory on that. It was, I think, during the 7 o'clock news.
Okay,
that
maybe that was it.
Yeah. Right. And what happened was I had a guest sitting there waiting to go on at 7:05 with me. And the first thing I did was I said, you can leave because we're certainly not going to be talking about fitness or something in this hour. And then I said, is Mark here? Could he come in?
Is that what it was?
And
I just remember it was such a long night.
And I remembered I was in the control chair for a few minutes, and all the calls were about Al Grasso.
Right.
And then I said, why don't you take this seat, and I'm out of here, because obviously that was the way we had to go.
Well, I'm over 50 now. My memory's not that good. But I do I do remember the night, and it was just one of the most memorable
You just talk about radio providing a service. I think a lot of people had a lot to grieve about that night. I mean, we were all shocked, no matter how much it was expected.
Mm.
And not anticipated in a good way, but anticipated nonetheless. But we needed somebody to talk to about it. Right. And we provided that for 6 hours.
I can remember one caller, a youngster from the shoreline somewhere. I remember a lot of callers that night. The one youngster who said that, and I guess the Grassos had a summer home down on the shoreline like so many people do. And he said to me, you know, I always remember the first time I met Mrs. Grasso in the supermarket and she had sneakers on. I mean, that's just stuck with me over the years. That's how people loved her. She was, as Governor O'Neill says, she was Mother Ella.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me do this very quickly. Bob, what time do I have to be out? 9:58? Okay, let me put Steve Morris on here. Steve, we are actually going to go after 10 o'clock. We've decided we're going to go till 11 o'clock, so we'll have some other folks joining us. Steve, here could be your option. I could put you on for 2 minutes now. Or since you did 10 to 2, I could put you on in your old shift. Steve did midday on WTIC, a music show, from 10 until 2. Steve, when were you here?
Regis, I'm going to say 1066, the Battle of Hastings. Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong call.
Hey, I'll tell you what.
I was here in the early 80s.
Tell you what. It's very funny. This is a very funny, very, very clever guy.
Steve, let me keep you after school, and I'll put you on after 10 o'clock, and we'll have more time with you, and because I have some folks that are going to have to leave us. Would that be okay, Steve?
Sure, that's fine.
All right, hang on just a second. Okay, I'm going to have him call you back. Bob will get back in touch with you in just a second. Since we are running short of time, Mark, first of all, I want to thank you for being here today.
It's a great pleasure to be here, and you've got a great partner here. I sat next to her for years and learned a lot. We got along well, and I miss it.
Go ahead and reveal her nickname, because...
Smitty?
Yes, Smitty. Remember that.
that's anybody can figure that out.
Well, no, not some of us. Some of us cannot. But is she
Thank
so,
you, Mark.
And she's relentlessly cheerful. I just love
relentlessly
this.
Cheerful,
I just
positively,
love this.
Positively Diane. And she is really the den mother of Channel 8. I don't know how she manages to keep track of every single person who went through the place. I don't know how she has any time to work.
Well, let's put on our scout leader here for a minute, and that's, of course, Bob Steele, who I hope will be returning. It's so intimidating to speak to you.
You mean after 10 o'clock?
No, you have to go. You must go, right?
Yes, I have to leave.
Yeah.
But my wife wants me to go to the grocery store.
Bob, any people, we spoke just a while ago about Al Grasso, but you were here for so many years. Are there people that you remember as being just positively Hartford, who made Hartford what it is and WTIC?
Well, people like Art McGinley of the Hartford Times, who used to write two columns. One just a nice little column about people, you know, and the other was sports. And he wrote until he was in his 80s. He was there. He was a great character. Everybody knew Art McGinley.
You mentioned Bill Savitt.
And Bill Savitt, of course, and Wilbur Cross, who was the governor of our state, former Yale professor. He was governor of Connecticut when I came here. And, well, there were countless people of note.
It was a wonderful thing to see, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You were so much a part of it.
Great. It's been a great life for me, I'll tell you. It's like I was born and raised in Kansas City, and I left there when I was 19. I went to California, came here when I was 25. And from then on, it's been as though I've been in Hartford all my life. You know, I forget California and Missouri. Connecticut is just, it's the greatest state that we have.
Bob, I want to thank you for being here this morning. I know you have to go do shopping now.
That's right.
The bigger they are, the harder they work. You know what I'm saying?
For a Sabbath story?
I've got to take my card so I save money there.
Okay.
They tell you how much you save.
Yes, I know.
You do any grocery shopping at all?
Yes, I do all of ours.
Good. Yeah. Well, then you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I enjoy it, actually.
I find all your coupons and everything.
Oh, I love it so much, Bob.
Bob will appreciate this. I had to go down to Huntington's bookstore one time to interview Bob Hope. Not like it was a chore. I mean, it was a great thrill. And I came out, and there was Bill Savitt on the sidewalk. Hey, Mark, come on over here. I want to show you something. He wanted to show me his diamond-studded putter. And let me take his picture with it.
Famous.
He was really something.
And several hours later, you were able to leave.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, Bob, thank you for being here. And it's been a pleasure, and we hope that our... Well, I guess I shouldn't put you on the spot, but I wonder if you're coming back for weekends come the spring.
March 4th, I'll be here if I'm living, yes.
There's good news. And remember, any morning you get up.
Thank you, Ray.
It's a good morning.
Thank you.
It's a 9:59. Mark, thank you for being here, and we'll see you on the news. And Diane's going to stick around, right?
I thought I would.
I think you... Okay, you don't have to go shopping or anything.
No.
You're okay. And, of course, Arnold will be back with you in just a few minutes. 9:59 on WTIC.